Hello, here's another episode of Friday Night Hang, and I welcome you all. It's been a while since we last did one. I was away on vacation. I was in Florida, and so I was enjoying down there. Now, when I was down in Florida, I am in the Fort Myers area. Pitchers and Catchers started, right, Ira?
Yes.
Say hi, Ira. Hi, John.
Hey.
Hello.
Alan just texted me, next time give me more notice. He can't join us. We're eating and watching something now. Sorry, man. That's what he said. You know, so that's what he said. Okay, so Alan, next time. So, when they do pitchers and catchers, a lot of people assume I can go to games, and that's not true. They're starting, I think, spring training is starting Saturday. Saturday, which is the 22nd of February. That's when the actual games start. Mm-hmm. So it starts always after President's Day. So, like, for instance, last year I was very, very lucky because I was able to go to JetBlue Park, which is the spring training facility for the Red Sox in Florida, in Fort Myers. And actually they had an open house a week before they started the spring training games. And I was able to actually take a picture of me with the World Series trophy. It was so much fun.
I like that picture.
It was absolutely wonderful. Also, I got to sit like I was like anchoring at a desk. And if you've never been to JetBlue Park in Fort Myers, it's fantastic. It is laid out like mini Fenway. All the things. We're watching right now the New York Knicks and Indiana Pacers. They're leading 90-78 in the fourth, 7 minutes 40 seconds left on MSG Network. So,
and that was this could be a 4-point play.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fouled on it. So.
Yeah. So we're enjoying it here on a wonderful TV, as usual.
Buckets.
Yes. Okay. So. So what do you think regarding about pitchers and catchers? We got so much stuff to talk about. We're going to probably do more than one episode because we got loads of stuff.
It's exciting. They start off, and you know, in another 34 days, it's season starts.
Right. But there's like so much stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. How about the Cespedes drama?
All right. Well, what is going on regarding about Yoannis Cespedes? We're also going to talk about loads of other stuff because there's all that Astro stuff, Red Sox stuff, Beltran stuff, Wilpon stuff, Dolan stuff, Steve Cohen stuff. We got tons of stuff to talk about since we last met.
He doesn't want to talk to the media.
Why not, John?
He's a diva.
You mean he's a Devo?
Yeah, Devo.
He's devolved. How's that? Okay, devolved. Devon, get the tables.
That's when he's not injured.
Yeah. Or when he breaks a nail.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you, Ira?
Or he trips over his own feet playing golf.
True. What about you, dear Ira? About Cespedes.
Honestly, I said this a year ago, I said it the year before that. I don't believe that Cespedes will ever play baseball again.
Really?
That's my
opinion. Think it'll be like a Bobby Bonilla thing where he just gets a stipend?
Oh, unfortunately it may turn into that.
Yeah, which is a sad thing.
Which is beyond sad.
Of course it is. Hang on. All right, go on. Oh, what happened? Ooh, Knicks came back. Knicks came back. So talk to me. Come on. Give me some more baseball stuff here.
Can't wait to see Gerrit Cole.
Oh, well, do you think he is committed regarding stealing stuff? What do you think? Stealing signals, because they're implicating him as part of the whole deal with the Houston Astros.
That really was a hitter type thing. It wasn't really for pitchers can't steal signs.
Well, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think, Ira?
How come it doesn't really affect the picture?
No, it doesn't make sense.
Bear with me. I'm trying to find something here, which is my talking points regarding about the baseball scandal that handled. Ah, here we are. Okay. All right. So, one thing I want to talk about here regarding with baseball is that there is major MLB changes in 2020.
Oh yeah, three.
And I have a whole list of them here. Let me read through the list, and we'll take each one by each one, okay? Three batter minimum is the big one here. Three batter minimum per inning. New rules that allow if the batter is in the final out of an inning, Otherwise, relievers will have to face three batters at minimum this season and beyond. What do you think of it, Ira?
I don't like it. They're changing the game. Leave it alone.
I know why. They're trying to speed it up.
That's the point. Yeah, they're trying to speed up the game. What do you think of it, John, as a Yankee fan?
I mean, it will speed it up because in one inning, you could have like six different pitchers in one half inning.
But that affects then the other thing regarding about the roster, which is going to be screwed up.
Well, no, because you're allowed. They're giving one extra player.
But just one.
But you're not going to need as many now because you're not going to have as many pitchers in the game.
But if there's six pitchers in the game, oh, you mean because of the three batter minimum that gets rid of the idea of six pitchers? But all right, well here, let me read the next one. Rosters are expanding from 25 to 26 players during the regular season and postseason. With that, there's a maximum of 13 pitchers.
But
they're going to kill the 40-man roster, so September rosters will be limited to 28 players with a maximum of 14 pitchers, meaning they'll only be able to add two more players, a hitter and a batter.
So it doesn't give as many minor leaguers a chance at coming up.
Right.
Most of their experience will come in spring training.
Right. Oh, so you mean rookies from the minor leagues, they'll be able to come up during spring training?
Well, that's what they do now. They you know, see how their talent is.
Okay.
But when it was September, they used to call them up.
Right.
Just for the extra, you know.
Right, and it was for visibility and things of that nature. Mm. How come they were okay with that change? Because why would they not want to have rookies come up? Like from the minors. Why would they not want them? Why would they not want the visibility?
Because it also extends games. A lot of different pinch hitters here and there.
Hmm. But here's the thing, though. In spring training, Your premier regular players need to be seen and to get the time in to warm themselves up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to use that whole time for up and comers,
it could be for trade possibilities also.
Sure. Like
for your regular players or for the minor leaguers?
See these young guys, and I like him. Let me trade for him.
Yeah. Well, that also coincides with the other stuff that we talked about, the possibility of shutting down minor league ballparks because of the realignment and reducing the number of teams. That's another factor that's involved here.
Last season, yeah.
Well, the talk about it hasn't been implemented yet, but the talk about it, you know, regarding of it, and then also handles with bond ratings and things of that nature regarding with minor, like for instance, Binghamton, you know, which has the AA Rumble Ponies. All right, so let me go on. Next thing is teams can designate two-way players who won't count towards the pitcher limitations on rosters. To qualify, players need at least 20 major league innings pitched and at least 20 major league games started as a position player or DH with at least 3 plate appearances in each of those games. For the first year, player stats from 2018 and 2019 could be used. So that means they're trying to bring back players that are pitchers and hitters?
No, I think minor leaguers and major league ball players.
So let me read this again.
So if people from AAA, they can go like two-way. They can go either back and forth.
Yeah, I'd like to see how that would work. What do you think, Ira?
I like that, actually.
So that would allow to have more players than the roster. Okay.
Right.
All right. There are some limitations on when a position player can pitch. Now they can only pitch if their team is behind by 6 or more runs. Or if a game is in extra innings. Like, for instance, when they use up, you know, like there is sometimes a utility player who can also be a pitcher if necessary. Right. So, you know, so it limits it clarifies regarding that. The other change that they're talking about is managers will now have 20 seconds instead of 30 to challenge a call on the field. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I don't see any issue regarding with that. So all in all, they're trying to do changes, but the main feature of these changes is to speed up the game. That's really the whole point of it.
Correct.
Okay. So we will be back after this brief message. Hello, we are back. So, now I'm going to talk about some more baseball stuff. Let's talk about the endless story of the Mets and, like, they lost funding with Steve Cohen and that it may still be recovered with Steve Cohen. Give me some details on this. The Wilpons currently own the New York Mets, which is the baseball team that I'm a fan of, and so is Ira, so is Alan. Okay? They wanted to do a contract with this guy, Steve Cohen, who is multimillionaire, and that it would be staggered over like about 6 years or so that eventually he would have controlling interest of the team. People who hate the Wilpons, many people do, were happy to hear about this. But then it got sort of like undone because they were reneging on the deal. Give me some info, Ira. What do you think about it?
I didn't really follow it too much, so I have to be honest.
Okay.
You.
What about you, John?
Well, the Wilpons kind of fucked themselves over.
I know, but why? You know, it's like they want to have their cake and eat it too.
They want control, and they don't want to, you know, give it up.
Right. So, you know, so that's something.
So,
is that Alan?
I don't think the deal is done yet.
Okay.
Steve is trying to somehow finagle it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe regarding finagling. So.
Yeah.
We'll be back after this. Hello, segment three. Hello, we're on segment three. Alan, what I was talking about is regarding with the Wilpons and Steve Cohen. Do you know the deal regarding about the reneging that the Wilpons did? Tell me about it.
I heard the Dolans wanted in.
No, talk about Steve Cohen first, then we can jump in on that.
I heard they wanted to do the... They wanted to give Steve Cohen like 80%, and then for the next 5 years, but then it fell through, and then now Steve Cohen wants 100%, and the Wilpons want $3 billion for the team, which is the highest paid.
I don't think the Mets are worth $3 billion. I don't think the Mets are worth $3 billion.
Well, that's what the value is.
No, the most valuable team in baseball is still the Yankees, whether anyone likes it or not.
I don't know about that. You should check the numbers, because right, the Yankees are only worth $2 billion.
I don't think the Mets are worth more than the Yankees.
They valued at $2.5 or $3 billion right now.
Well, the top major teams in value are the Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, and Dodgers, and the Cubs. And the Cubs.
How much are the Yankees valued at?
Probably $2 billion.
Okay, and if someone buys the Mets for $3 billion, they'll be higher.
I think it's overinflated. Well, you understand, the Wilpons are trying to make their money back on that Ponzi scheme that they lost tons and tons of money on. You know, that's the simple point of it. Now, let me go on further. There is also talks regarding about James Dolan, the guy who owns the Rangers, Madison Square Garden, and the Knicks, that he is interested in the Mets. When did that come up? Because that's weird.
I sent that post out on Facebook. Today or yesterday?
Yeah. I think it's weird. What do you think? I hope it doesn't happen.
I'll be honest, I'd rather Trump buy the team.
No. I did hear that there were reports regarding that A-Rod was considering the team. But here's the thing about Alex Rodriguez.
A-Rod is that he's only worth $300 million.
Correct. He's only worth $350 million.
He's a good businessman.
He would need partners. But the thing is, in my opinion, the Mets are worth maybe only $1 billion, not three. But the thing is, would A-Rod be a good owner of the Mets? Yes, because he actually does care about baseball. He actually wanted to be a Met
that's
player.
That's why it's your opinion, because the Mets are worth way more than $1 billion.
I don't know.
They might not play like $1 billion.
They don't play like $1 billion.
But they're valued at least $2.5 billion right now.
Well, let me ask you this. We just talked about it in an earlier segment. What do you think about Jonas Cespedes not wanting to talk to anybody?
I think...
He's ridiculous.
Am I allowed to curse?
Yes, you can curse.
It's totally bullshit.
Yes. Yeah, I think it is bullshit. I agree. You know, on
that. First of all, Cespedes is just a bore.
You originally loved him when he first came up.
You don't get the joke, it went right over your head, did it?
Of course.
Okay.
I'm the newbie, remember? Go on.
Cespedes is... Well, okay. Let me backtrack. Kyrie Irving is the Cespedes of the NBA.
Really?
Yeah, because he's always injured.
Ah, true. Okay.
All right.
Go take the shot. My shoulder hurts. I need to be out for a week or two.
All right, hang on. Here's John.
I mean, come on.
I have the MLB team valuations according to Forbes.
Let's hear this.
The Yankees, number one, $4.6
billion. 4.6.
Dodgers, $3.3 billion.
3.3, wow.
Red Sox, $3.2 billion. Cubs, $3.1 billion.
So if the Mets are valued at 3, they're in ranking 5.
San Francisco Giants, $3 billion.
Oh, my God. They'd be tied with the Giants.
New York Mets, they're valued at $2.3
billion. $2.3 billion. So that would mean...
Wilpons want to
overpay by $700,000.
Yeah, but you said that they're worth only $1 billion.
But here's the thing. I'm wrong, but guess what position they're in? 6.
Okay. But the thing is that... As soon as they decide to sell the team, they're going to be worth a lot
more. $700 million.
Right. $2.3 billion.
$2.3 billion. Yeah, $700 million. $700 million. I stand corrected. No. $700 million. They're undervalued. $700 million. So almost $1 billion. That's what the Wilpons want. And that means also. And that means also, A-Rod only has 1/10 the money needed.
I got a little fun fact for you.
Let's hear it.
The Mets have not won a World Series with 100% Wilpon ownership ever.
I believe that.
In 1986, they weren't.
Doubleday. It was the Doubleday family.
Or 50%.
Doubleday family still owned the majority of.
I think it was either 50-50 or 51-49, I don't know. But
probably 51-49 Doubleday.
100%.
Right.
And they did not win the World Series in 2000, and they did not make it the World Series in 06, and they didn't win in 15 because they lost.
Right.
So, not once under the Wilpon administration or ownership did they win a World Series as 100% majority
owner. As majority owner, correct. Correct.
That's why they need to go.
I know, but who can buy them? So that's the whole point.
I think they were already almost 100% when they were in the World Series in 2000. I think Doubleday sold their shares.
They were Doubleday was already out by 2000. The Doubleday family was out.
Was it 2000 or was it 02?
2000. Okay. That's when they went to the World Series at that time, 2000, against the Yankees and lost. Because of Bobby V.
Bobby V was one of the best managers.
Oh, stop
ever.
It. Don't even go. You got hot air.
He made it to the World Series.
And blew it.
It doesn't matter. He still made
he
it to
blew
the
it.
Series.
He blew it. He blew it. He blew it.
Like
he got blown out.
Yeah, but how many years in a row did he make the playoffs with Bobby V?
Probably 2.
I think it's 3 years in a row.
I don't believe that. 2. I'll say 2. Okay. Blow it out. He blew it up. Okay, so there you go.
It doesn't matter. Next to David Johnson, he's the second best. Oh no, the third best because Gil Hodges was.
Yeah, yeah. What happened to Gil Hodges? You forgot him, hey?
Well, he unfortunately died before he could be better.
Of course. So Gil Hodges and Davey Johnson.
They have one ring apiece, but
yeah.
Gil Hodges has been to the World Series more times. Well, I don't know. Was he dead already in 72?
He died in 72. I remember when he died.
But he died in April of 72.
April
so
of 72,
there.
Yes.
April of 72.
Yeah, so they only was in one appearance with both managers.
Yes.
But Davey Johnson, they were in the playoffs. I think
well, he was in the World Series in Baltimore. He was a player when he won the World Series with the Baltimore Orioles when he was younger.
Were you? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. So he already had a ring. So, unlike Don Mattingly, he already had a ring.
Wait, as a player, right?
Yes, as a player. He played for Baltimore.
Not as a manager.
No, not manager, player. That I knew. So, So are you excited for spring training? I can't wait to see that on TV myself. Like I was telling the guys, it's a shame that when I go down to Florida, it's before spring training, which sucks.
Let me make an announcement on your podcast.
Of what?
Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is game one.
Oh, I already said that.
The Mets preseason.
Yes.
First game, Mets versus St. Louis. Second game, Mets versus the Marlins. It is a split squad. Two games.
All right, let me ask you this. What do you think about those MLB changes regarding... I already asked the other guys. Do you have any points for you, that you want to put in regarding about the MLB changes for 2020?
I think Manfred needs to go to hell. He's an idiot.
I agree with you.
Well,
he's shortening the game up by taking the walks out.
Oh, we got to talk about Houston.
The four-pitch walk was amazing because if you throw a pitch and the ball goes too far...
Yeah, Muns could score. I agree.
The visits to the mound is ridiculous, and now he wants to give a minimal three batters to every unless they strike out the side. Unless they're at two outs and they bring the pitcher in. But
right.
The thing is, each pitcher has to have a minimum three outs.
Right.
And that takes away the idea of the lefty specialist. The lefty specialist is the guy who comes in to pitch against one batter who's a lefty and strike him out, and then they change him again. In this case, they don't want to do that, which kind of basically dampers the whole lefty specialist idea.
I think
that's wrong.
Has baseball always had that type of thing? Or was that a more later incarnation?
Why can't the pitcher get three batters?
Well, Manfred also was the same person that called the World Series trophy a piece of metal.
He actually said that?
Yes.
He's a loser. Is he like Joe Buck? He doesn't care about baseball at all. Why on earth is he running it? He sounds worse than Faye Vincent.
I mean, look.
And Faye Vincent was not a great commissioner.
I remember Faye Vincent.
I don't know. He's like he's almost as bad as Trump. But anyway, I think that if you now let me ask you a question, just diverting from the Mets for a second.
Yes.
Do you think Major League Baseball should strip the Astros of the World Series title?
In my opinion. Well, have they ever done that before? Stripped a World Series title? I don't think they ever did.
No, they've never done it.
They should censure and also put an asterisk regarding of it, like with the Chicago Black Sox, which was a scandal that was in the 20s?
1919.
That's what I want to talk about now. There's all this stuff regarding about the Houston Astros scandal and about Carlos Beltran and then with the Red Sox now. And all this stuff regarding sign stealing. Yes, I understand that cheating exists, but that doesn't mean that it's okay. Just because there's now a cheater's edition of Monopoly doesn't mean that the original rules don't apply. So that's my example. The thing is that what Houston did is incorrect. They need to be censured for it. And so that way it doesn't happen again. And this commissioner is not being a fair customer regarding about with baseball. Baseball is all based on stats. And if the stats are not true and not valid, that devalues the value of the game. They have worked so hard in trying to get people to be attracted back to the game. We're still feeling the effects of from that last major baseball strike from 94, believe it or not.
LeBron chimed in on it.
LeBron chimed in? What did LeBron say?
What did he say?
He said, I forgot the exact words, but he's not a fan of Manfred.
Good.
He said they should be punished.
Yeah.
Well,
if they're
like,
not going to be
you
stripped
know who's
of the...
Doing, Major League Baseball now, analyst-wise?
Who?
John's favorite basketball player.
Charles Barkley.
What does he know about baseball? I mean, LeBron,
I think
knows baseball.
Think that the Astros are going to get their title stripped from them. He doesn't think so.
But why is he becoming a baseball analyst? I mean, LeBron knows baseball players. That I know.
LeBron probably sucks at basketball, I guess. I don't know.
No, LeBron has friends from, you know, Miami and, he knows baseball players. So.
May I do a shameless promotion?
Go ahead, Alan.
Okay, everybody in podcast land, please turn, if you're a Met fan, please turn your attention to my Facebook, Mets Facebook page, New York Met Fans Forever. We talk about the Mets. We even talked about a few weeks back about Kobe, but we mostly talk about baseball and the Mets. So please come join my Facebook group, New York Mets Fan Forever. Thank you.
And like that page on Facebook, New York Met NY Mets Fans Forever. I think that's what the name of the page, right?
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of that, we're now going to go quickly, just for information purposes. The tribute for Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna is going to be done on Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Tune in radio on the web and on the TuneIn app if you have it for Android or for Apple. They're going to be able that you can hear the service, the memorial service, free. And so just go onto the app or on TuneIn Radio and just look that up for the Kobe Bryant service. That's going to be on Monday. Monday
224.
Thank you. Monday 224, 2020, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. They're going to do a simulcast from the Staples Center in L.A. Regarding the life of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna. So
if you're in Japan, you can tune in Tokyo at 1 o'clock a.m.
Whatever. Yeah, Alan, how are you doing? Okay.
You were talking about TuneIn, so I had to throw that one in.
Well, TuneIn is one of my favorite radio apps and everything. I love the service. You know, there's also radio.com for those, but this you can hear it on the TuneIn app, and because they were doing a promotion for it. Also, just to let everyone know, remember, like our page, Friday Night Hang On Facebook, so that way you can get the links. Remember, this is an Anchor service through Anchor and Spotify. You can also look us up on Apple Podcasts. Just look under Friday Night Hang. Okay, let's skip to another story. You heard that Macy's is going to be closing 125 stores over the next 3 years. And so that's like a major loss in retailers and locations. Also, they're still planning on wanting to build a skyscraper 900 foot on top of Herald Square. My question is, have they done the studies if the building, that old landmark building, can support a tower? With the Hearst Tower, that was factored when they built the original structure to have a tower on it. So that was fine. But this, I don't know. But you know, of course, blaming on online sales. Also, Macy's is planning on increasing Macy's Backstage stores, which is sort of like a TJ Maxx. We have that up here in New York. And also, they're planning on doing another type of store called Macy's at Market at Macy's, which would be roughly about 10,000 square feet, and it would be in shopping centers. And it would have a smaller scale of the regular Macy's merchandise. What do you think about it, Alan? Throwing it out to you first.
I had no idea that Macy's was going out of business.
No, they're not going out of business. They're going to close 125 stores over the next 3 years. So they're going to pare it down to maybe like 400 or 300 total.
Which means they're starting the liquidation.
Well, it's because of flat sales, more or less. That's why they're not in the red. No, unlike Kmart and Sears, which is really going to go away soon. But it's a bummer considering, you know, there's less and less places for people to try on clothes and also to test things. That's another thing. There's a chain that's called Papyrus, which is greeting card and paper seller. They have decided to close all their U.S. locations. It is partially owned by American Greetings, but they have like 400 locations. They're going to close all of them. They're going to go strictly online and then into the other stores that they have. Like, for instance, BJ's Wholesale sells some papyrus stuff and stuff like that. So that's what they're going to do going forward. But that means a lot of people losing their jobs.
I don't know. My feeling of this is that stores come and go. Stores last for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. Look,
80 years and they're just a flash in the pan.
Are not around anymore. They lasted for a long time. And Stearns lasted for a long time. A&S lasted for a long time. Orbex lasted for a long time. I'm still surprised JCPenney's is
around. Sean does not know what Orbex is.
What? It used to be an anchor in Queens Center Mall back in the day.
John has never heard of the store Orbex.
I think there was an Orbex where Kohl's is now.
No, that was Bloomingdale's.
That was Bloomingdale's.
It was originally Bloomingdale's. Then it was Kmart. Then it became Kohl's. The one in Fresh Meadows.
It was a Caldor for a short time too, I think.
No, that was Main Street Flushing. It was never a Caldor.
It was a Caldor at the corner.
Union Turnpike was the Glen Oaks store.
Caldor was on Union Turnpike.
The girl I used to know, Lisa, she used to work there. It was a Caldor.
Never a Caldor in Fresh Meadows. Caldor was on Union Turnpike in Glen Oaks. It was the former Maze space.
Yeah, but there was a Caldor at the corner of 188th.
No, there was not, Alan. It never was.
There was a Caldor there before.
Alan, there never was. Okay?
You lived in Whitestone. How do you know?
Excuse me. I always used to go to Fresh Meadows.
There was never a Caldor.
Well, let me look it up.
He was never a Caldor at the corner of 188th and the LIE. Never.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
Let me look it up, okay? Hang on.
It was Bloomingdale's for the longest time.
Well, that I know. Hang on.
It was never a Caldor.
The Caldor
was on Union Turnpike in Glen Oaks.
I know there was one there, but there was also one in 188th.
It was not there.
I lived there. I lived down the block from there.
Yeah, and I always used to go to Fresh Meadows, too, and there was never a Caldor there, I can tell you that.
This one I believe you're wrong on.
Well, hold on. I'm trying to read it. Keep talking, people, while I look it up. On July... here it is. July 13th, 1991, Bloomingdale's closed the doors of the Fresh Meadows location after 42 years. This landmark was quickly grabbed by Kmart. Local residents were distressed as shoppers from the outside the area complex were flooding into the shopping area. Eventually, the store was upgraded once again into a modern Kohl's department store. This is dated from Queen's Chronicle, Thursday, January 3rd, 2008. So it never was a Caldor, Alan.
Maybe they made a mistake. I don't know.
There were two Caldors. There was one on Union Turnpike in Glen Oaks, and there was one on Roosevelt Avenue off Main Street.
Wrong. There was a third.
No, but
Middle Village.
All right. I'm talking about Caldor in our part of Queens.
Okay.
I'm talking
in Middle Village, it was TSS, then it was Caldor, then it became Kmart. Because I used to shop there. So I know.
I mean, when I was a kid, I used to take the 17 bus to Fresh Meadows all the time. So.
Okay. So there's your answer, Alan. It was unfortunately never a Caldor.
Are you going to say there was always one entrance?
No, there were two entrances. You can see in the structure of the building that there was a back entrance. That entrance did exist when it was Bloomingdale's. I visited it.
Talk about a front entrance, which is over on Horace Harding.
The front entrance existed when it was Bloomingdale's, but when it became Kmart, they closed it. They also redid...
No, when it was Kmart, they still had the other entrance. When it became Kohl's, it was just the one in the parking lot entrance.
Well, I can tell you one thing that was different. When it became Kmart, because I visited when it first became Kmart, they still had the original layout of the lower level because there was steps on the lower level that it wasn't even. They changed that when Kmart left and became Kohl's to make it an even floor. But in the original configuration... It was like a step up, you know, like you had to climb stairs on the same level. That was from the original design of Bloomingdale's.
Yeah, because so I remember that. Entrances when there was Kmart. When it was
not closed, talking about entrances inside the store. Entrance. I'm talking about inside the store.
I still have towels in my closet that I bought when it was Kmart back in the late 90s.
It's time to get rid of stuff.
Are you sure that's good quality?
It's Martha Stewart.
Come on.
Martha Stewart stuff can last. That's true. Martha Stewart stuff can last. Oh, so.
This pair of pants I bought in November 17th, 1987.
Do you have stuff from 1987? I bet you do. I have concert shirts from the early 90s. That I admit.
I would probably bottle farts from 1987 and still
have it. Nah. Well, I have champagne from 2000. I still have it.
You still have a members only jacket from 1986?
I wish. I don't. I love members only jackets. I did have one.
My father has an old one in his closet.
Wow. Is it still wearable?
You better come out the closet, Ira. You better put it on.
Be nice, Alan. Be nice. Don't worry. Be nice. All right. I'm just saying.
I'm saying you should inherit it. Take it. It's a members only jacket.
Will it fit you? I don't know.
No one else is wearing it.
Well, I have a cool leather jacket, so man, I love mine. But I only bought mine a couple of years ago. But it wasn't a members only jacket, though. It was just a no name. So that's what you get from going to warehouse stores. Okay.
I'm sorry. For some reason, I thought there was a store in between Kmart and Kohl's.
No, there wasn't. For instance, one interesting thing is, did you hear that JCPenney is closing the store in Green Acres, which is like one of the oldest JCPenney stores in the New York metro area? But it was also one of their smaller ones.
Ask me if I ever go to Green Acres.
Well, I used to when I first worked in Queens. I wanted to shop at JCPenney and there weren't any in Brooklyn at that time.
I haven't been to Green Acres since 1999.
You mean 2 decades? My God.
I have not been to Green Acres
since. You and your memory, it's amazing.
I'll tell you why, because at the movie theater there I saw Saving Private Ryan in March of 99.
That movie theater is gone, you know, Sonic is there.
I know.
Sonic technically is in Queens, and that's where the movie theater was. The front parking lot of the Sunrise Cinemas.
Does anybody remember the Bayside Twin?
No. They had twins in Bayside?
It's like 40th.
No, movie theater in Bayside. I think it was called the Bayside Twin. Oh, no, that was Utopian Twin. Bayside was, I forgot what it was called. But
the
it was
UA Bayside.
In Bayside on Bell Boulevard.
Yes, that's where I saw Back to the Future in the summer of 85.
Was that Uno's? No, it was Question.
No.
That's diagonally across. Is who knows?
Yeah, well, I remember. Workshop is now is where the movie theater was.
Yeah, well, look, I can remember stuff like that too. I remember seeing Grease first run at Loewy's Oriental, which is now a Marshall's in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn.
And I saw Grease at the RKO Keith, which is now.
Oh my gosh! Well, they're still doing work on what that's going to be.
Don't get me started with that.
That's all another right. one in
Other
Flushing.
Than Ira, here's a trivia question for Bob and John. It's a trivia question. Where was the original movie theater in Bay Terrace located?
Oh, I know that.
I don't know.
I know exactly where it is. I can
Applebee's.
Tell. Yes, I went there.
I was surprised that the supermarket in Bay Terrace Shopping Center was originally a bowling alley.
Oh, I remember when it was a bowling alley.
That's amazing.
Bay Terrace Lanes, yeah.
Yeah.
And then a few different music stores.
I remember Sam Goody, Music Land, Tower Records, Record World, Square Circle. Do you remember a chain called Square Circle?
Square Circle was there. Yeah. FYE was there.
Yeah. FYE.
And Coconuts.
Yeah. Coconuts.
The only one that's left now nationwide is FYE. There aren't any around here. There's very few of those stores left for your entertainment. And it was a merger of Coconuts and Camelot.
I think even Outback was something else before it was Outback.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that was.
I don't remember what it was, but I think
you
it was
heard that
else.
That health food store over there was closing. Health Nuts, they're closing it in Bay Terrace.
Oh, okay.
The Pacers won 106, I think, to 98.
Yes.
106 to 98. The game is over. Yeah, there it is.
Pacers
won 106 over the Knicks by 98. 106 to 98. because you're doing
I have no comment about that game because I was actually rooting for the Knicks.
Wow. You are rooting for the Knicks.
Well, because the Pacers are, like, up there.
Amazing.
They're in the top eight. I don't know where they are, but they're in the top eight.
Amazing.
John, where are the Pacers?
I don't know.
I think they're like 7 or 6.
Yeah, I think
they're like a little bit under the 76ers.
Wow. Well, definitely, we will see more. I got to figure out other things we're going to talk about.
The game is Sunday. It's the Lakers versus Celtics in L.A.
All right.
My team versus the Lakers.
All right. All right, I'm going to wrap it up now because it's getting late, but we'll be doing more, okay? So I got to figure out some other stuff that we're going to talk about, okay? So follow us on my Instagram is MuntsMan. My Twitter is MuntsRadio. Follow Friday Night Hang. Look it up on the podcasts and different services. Also like our Facebook page, Friday Night Hang. Like that page, and that way you'll be able to see when we post the stuff. I wish you all peace and love, and we are out of here. Hang on. Bye-bye.